HD3 Detroit.
KJAQ.
HD3 Seattle.
WBMX.
HD3 Boston. And on AOL Radio.
And Yahoo Launchcast.
Houston. I'm a professional counselor with over 25 years of experience and an intuitive and holistic healer for the past 18 years with over 25 different healing modalities. My joy and purpose is because I love to guide and assist people to feel expansive and empowered as they move from their heads to their hearts. Visit me at intuitivesoul.com and book your private session today. So tonight we are blessed again. We have master astrologer and author of the Cosmic Weather Report, or co-author of the Cosmic Weather Report, Notes from the Edge of the Universe. We have Mark Borax with us. Welcome, Mark.
Hi, Lori. Nice to be in the show.
It's always a pleasure. And I have to say, you know, this is really going to be the third interview that we've done. We did a kind of pre-interview of the book before I ever got it on here back in December, I think. And then in January, we did a good full hour on my website, and it's a really good introduction. And, you know, we talked about a lot of really fascinating things. So if you want to know more about his book, definitely take a look at my website and go to his page, and we'll have all three interviews on there so you can listen to them all. But, you know, I really, really enjoyed this book, Mark, because it confirmed a lot of things that I felt was going on, and it allowed me, I think, a lot more freedom in understanding, you know, why we're going through such difficult times right now. So it is really cool how you've put together this book. Now, you did also, you co-authored this with Elias Lonsdale, and I mean, it really is a brilliant book.
Thank you. It came from one of our teleclasses where Elias Lonsdale took a look at what's going on in the cosmic weather in the world, which was a deep and profound enough class that it ended up inspiring me to create a whole book out of it.
Right, which is pretty incredible. And you have a new set of teleclasses starting this month, actually.
That's right, actually starting Saturday, which is just this coming Saturday.
Right, so
yeah,
a lot of information gets instilled in these teleclasses. So if you are, you know, curious about what is going on in the world right now, this is probably, you know, a key teleclass to be part of. Okay,
yeah,
so
start on March 12th and run for 3 weeks.
Nice. All right. So the first we've already talked about part one and two, and we can just, like, very briefly go through, you know, part one was about the trance of normalcy and how we sort of are in this severely shut down state. And I think it's really interesting because we kind of go in and out of feeling really high and feeling this just unbelievable pull that can affect all of us at different times.
Yeah, it's one of the main signatures of our current times, Lori, is that the highs are higher and the lows are lower right now.
They sure are. And part two is just that we need to grow beyond ourselves. That, you know, we're coming out of the age of the Pisces. We had to go through what we had to go through, and we're moving towards radical love, and we're moving towards the age of Aquarius.
Yes, and that whole passage is a major historical transition. It helps people to understand how to frame your own personal transformation right now, including the challenges and the crises, as well as the breakthroughs, to frame all of that in a greater historical progression, that there is a reason why things have gotten so challenging, so accelerated, and so intensified. It's not just your own personal life that's gone into some strange overdrive. There's actually a method to the madness. And in part two, we go in quite some detail as to what this transformation from the previous age is all about.
Right. And it's kind of key because it really helps us understand why we're having these really, you know, deep lows as well as having, you know, these incredible highs. Like, it's really important to understand the historical background of it to help us, because it alleviates some of the burden, I think, that a lot of us seem to be, you know, beating ourselves up about and, you know, going through such a trauma.
Yeah, and I think some of that burden comes from the world in desperate need of a new story, of a new creation myth, a new reason to be, because we've run out of steam running on the old stories, the old paradigms, the old creation myths. And one of the stories that we go into in quite some detail in the new book is the story of what we're leaving behind and what we're beginning to come into.
Mm-hmm. And again, we talked a lot about this already, so, you know, listen to our interview on Intuitive Soul Radio. It's it is really quite in-depth, and it is really fascinating. So part three is kind of, you know, it is allowing us to bridge, to create a bridge to the future. Like, it's kind of giving us some really interesting stories, talking about, you know, some of the different things that we're going to go through, some of the different things we're trying to create, and how that's sort of helping us move towards creating this bridge.
Well, that was very important to me writing this book, Lori, is that I not only wanted to go deep into the meaning of the challenges of our current times, but I also wanted to find the core, the soul, the inspirational nugget as to why we're going through what we're going through and how we can use the greatest pressures and challenges right now to transform our lives into something that can work much better than it used to, even though there's definitely a lot of chaos, a lot of transition going on.
Yeah. So in part three, I mean, and in other parts of the book, you also talk about it. And I think it's really important, because I think a lot of times when we think of our shadow, you know, a lot of times we're trying to be this good girl or this good boy, and we're, you know, we judge ourselves. And instead of looking at our shadow, instead of understanding, you know, all this resistance that we have, we kind of try and shove it away. Like, we listen to the laws of attraction and all of that stuff that's out there where, you know, it's sort of telling you to change your thoughts, which partially is what we need to do. But by doing that, a lot of people, and I mean a lot of people, are kind of in spiritual bypass where they're, you know, they're not really dealing with the things that they need to deal with. And so this shadow work, really, I think, is probably one of the key things that we need to understand so that we can get back to who we are, like our authenticity.
Yes, and in the third part of the book, and by the way, I just want to mention, in case you have new listeners, the book is Cosmic Weather Report, Notes from the Edge of the Universe, Guidance for Radically Changing Times. And that that third title, what they call a reading line, Guidance for Radically Changing Times, that's what really comes out in the third part of the book that we're talking about now, especially in terms of shadow work, which means that we're kind of living in a culture with a disowned shadow. In order to get to the current state of civilization, we have swept so much underneath the rug that one of the primary things being asked of all of us now is to learn how to look at our own darkness, our own distorted reflection, the parts of ourself that we haven't been ready or willing to actually look at. And to do that, to look into your own shadow and not get caught in a web of denial or shame, or just overwhelmed by self-judgment, that's the real work of our time now, to see into the danger zone, the part of our consciousness that we've repressed, that we've kept out of the light. Now, the transformation that we're going through is really demanding of each of us that we find out who we are in the darkness in order to be able to really make good on who we are in the light.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, I can't say it enough. I mean, it's just so important because we're, to become authentic, we really truly need to strip away all of these masks and things that we've been trying to, you know, layer upon ourselves so that we can, you know, be loved and accepted by everybody. And it's like we're so, you know, most of us are so eager to, you know, check out instead of, you know, coming in, that we, you know, we get caught up. We're not present, and that's what part three is all about too. But it's like we just don't want to, we don't want to believe that these shadow parts of us are us.
Yeah, I think you're hitting one of the main themes of the book right now, which has to do with the call for presence, the need to become present on a level that surpasses the numbness, the denial, and the shutdown of recent years, recent decades. In the 1960s, a world culture tried very hard to break out of the numbness and the denial, to become fully present on a level that we were not able to sustain from then till now. What's coming back around again 40, 50 years later is a much more universal need to become present, not just for the small counterculture that was making most of the breakthroughs in the 1960s, but for the whole world to snap out of this kind of state of denial. It's really like an addiction, and the antidote to it is presence. And so when we become present, when we really summon up the pressures of the moment as a calling to become so here, so aware of what's going on, and so fully true to ourselves, then all of those pressures really serve their purpose, and the world picture has a much better chance of transforming. You come to see it from a different light.
Perfect. Okay, we're going to go to break now. If you have any questions about Mark's book, give us a call at 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. You're listening to Intuitive Soul with Mark Borax on the Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Join Kimmy Rose on Interviews, Thursday nights from 9 to 11 p.m. Together as a community, we will embrace the challenges in life and find a way to experience heaven on earth. Spiritual teachers and Kimmy will bring you insight on how to change your life and embrace purpose. Interviews this Thursday night starting at 9. It's all about what's within you.
There's no combination of words I could put on the back of a postcard. No song that I could sing, but I can try for your heart. Our dreams, and they are made out of real things, like a shoebox of photographs with sepia tone loving. Love is the answer, at least for most of the questions of my heart. Like, why are we here and where do we go? And knock on me so hard. It's not always easy, and sometimes life can be deceiving. I'll tell you one thing, it's always better when we're together. It's always better when we're together. Yeah, we'll look at them stars when we're together. Well, it's always better when we're together. Yeah, it's always better when we're together. Moments just might find their way into my dreams tonight, but I know that they'll be gone when the morning light sings or brings new things. For tomorrow night you see that they'll be gone too. Too many things I have to do, but if all of these dreams might find their way into my day-to-day scene, I'd be under the impression I was somewhere in between, with only two, just me and you. Not so many things we got to do.
for places we got to be. We'll sit beneath the mango tree now. Yeah, it's always better when we're together. We're somewhere in between together. Well, it's always better when we're together. Yeah, it's always better when we're together. When I sleep, and I wake, and when I wake up, you look so pretty, sleeping next to me, but there is not enough time, and there is no song I could sing, and there is no combination of words I could say, but I will still tell you one thing, we're better together.
Live the life you've imagined. Look up to the sky.
This is Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL.
Myself, a threadbare gypsy soul.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
NewSkyRadio.com.
Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston is empowering women to connect with our true power, bringing us back into balance as we become more conscious in this unbalanced world. Tonight, we are talking with Mark Borax from markborax.com, who is a master astrologer as well as the co-author of Cosmic Weather Report, Notes from the Edge of the Universe. So we're sort of talking about the third part of the book, which is really the bridge to assisting us to get where we're wanting to get and to understand some of the things that we need to look at. I know that Elias talks a lot about, you know, the extremes that we're going through. You know, we can have these extremes highs where we've got joy and magic and possibility, and then we've got these real extreme lows. And we have to find this way of living in the middle, which, as he writes, isn't neutral, which I think there is this belief out there that, you know, living in the neutral means, you know, that everything kind of, you know, it is balanced. But, yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, I think that there's a tendency when times are so polarized as they are now between the high vision of that many people who are involved with spirituality and mysticism are talking about a huge transformation. We've been talking about these things for decades, especially in relation to the year 2012, which is next year. And at the same time, there's tremendous turmoil and unrest and uproar going on globally right now. And when times are that polarized, there's often a tendency to try and yank back in a certain way, in a reaction. And what we're talking about in the third part of this book is how to recognize the polarization of our time as the kind of final act in the age of Pisces, which has been going on for 2,000 years, since the time of Christ, an act in which we're being called to so embody the love that we are, to so fulfill the creative purpose why your soul incarnated here, that the very crazy polarity of the time doesn't get distorted by any further melodrama from yourself, from your own personal bias, but you actually move through the highs and the lows with a willingness, with a presence, with a kind of active, engaged surrender that can help us to show up and be more fully alive and present than we've ever been before.
Yeah. I know he also talks about, and this is the first time he brings it in, then he talks about it a little bit later, but the fact that we're really not doing our life. We're just sort of, you know, spirit is doing our life, and we're sort of part of this journey, and we need to find a way to get balanced, and a lot of it is through, you know, sort of asking ourselves questions.
Yeah, and what that has to do with, Lori, is the current modern fiction, the modern fabrication that has to do with viewing yourself as a commodity, as if you're a product, where you're taught how to make something out of yourself in the sense of controlling existence in order to have it go your way. And we talk about that in this book as a dangerous fallacy, because it presumes that the ego self of human beings is really running the show here, and it completely denies the existence of greater powers, of higher spiritual forces, of help from beyond that are also choreographing what's going on here on Earth, and so it takes a great kind of self-reckoning, a self-confrontation, to dismantle the parts of yourself that were trained by our culture to really to create an artificial existence in order to fit in with an artificial culture that's now going through its death pangs in order so that something else can be born from the wreckage.
Right. And how is it that, I mean, you know, we have this whole ego thing where, you know, we're looking for the quick fix a lot. And, you know, I love that, you know, we're looking for this way out, but we can only get there from going in.
Yeah, and that's the main theme of this book, Lori. That's the theme that runs through parts 1, 2, and 3. It's mm-hmm. also the main theme of most of my personal astrology readings that I do with people, is that we're not here to get out of here. There is no Pleiades. There is no other dimension that we're trying to get out of this horrible earthly existence that we're trapped in order to be somewhere better. The somewhere better is here, and the only way to get there is through the present moment. And so it's the here and now that actually becomes the somewhere better if you make it that way by bringing the full force of your own presence into the living moment.
Right.
And this book gives a lot of suggestions as to how to do that. How do we use one of the strangest, craziest, most dangerous times in human history to become more present rather than more absent? How do we use every single challenge that's going on in our world and our lives right now to show up rather than check out? How do we turn around that fight or flee tendency in humanity into a summons to bring the full magical presence of your soul nature right there in the moment, right into your body, right into your life? And that's the driving theme of the book, that even when we're not talking about that, that's what we're really saying.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's probably, I mean, we can do it all. We've all probably had moments where we can do that. It's, you know, how do we do it? Or maybe doing it is not the appropriate term, but how do we stay in that place when life is happening around us?
It's quite a challenge. It's the main challenge of our time. That's the challenge right there that you just said. How do you fully show up with the strength, grace, magic, surrender, and power that you have uniquely at your disposal, even at those times when it's most difficult to do so?
Yeah.
And there is no one easy answer to that question, it's more of a process that you learn, an exercise that you practice. More and more, you can learn how to do that, even though you're going to slip, you're going to regress, you're not always going to succeed at becoming fully present at those moments when it's the hardest to do so, but that's the current of our times. That's the wave. That's where the age of Aquarius is really wanting to take us to, a fully embodied, magical, but very grounded and real presence, a new form of presence.
Right. I really do love how you talk about, you know, because it's so prevalent in the spiritual community. You know, we're looking for this loophole in the contract, which is, you know, enlightenment. And we think that, you know, enlightenment is going to free us from all the things that are going on in our lives.
Yeah. Yeah. And Elias put that in a really good way in the book. He said, it's taken me decades to get this one. Oh, boy, it's taken me decades to learn that no matter how many strides I make in consciousness, I'm never going to be exempt from having to show up here full force to meet everything coming to meet me. See, I always wanted to find some loophole in the contract. I figured once I became enlightened, things would get easier. I mean, isn't that the whole point of enlightenment? Man, did I have it backwards. Because once you rise in consciousness, you become not the master, but the servant of everyone who hasn't yet become as conscious as you.
Yeah.
And it's true. The New Age community is especially guilty of this one, thinking that there's that the modern world has become too material and that we need a way out. And there are various movements to kind of excarnate off the planet and upraise our vibration and ascend into some sort of galactic nirvana. And all of my work and all of my writing is entirely based in the opposite direction, which is that we have not yet become material enough. We're not yet fully here. Materiality isn't the problem with our culture. It's that we're not material. It's that we haven't fully shown up physically in our bodies, in our organs, with our senses alive, here and now, on the earth, communing with this existence on a very deep and profound level, which changes the whole picture when you do it that way. And so we strive in this book to create a story of how and why we're being asked to show up now like never before. And we're especially trying to jerk that part of human consciousness awake that's weary and bone weary, in fact, with feeling it's all too much. It's just too crazy, and there's got to be some better place somewhere.
Right. Yeah, I'm right there. I totally agree and understand, and that's again why I think this book is so brilliant, because it really kind of lays it out in, you know, kind of layman's terms, and, you know, like, let's get real here, because what we're not doing is being real, and we need to find a way to fully anchor ourselves in this physical dimension, or else why would we be here? But we're going to talk more about probably my favorite part of the book, which is having a modern relationship, when we get back from our next break. So we're going to go to break. We are talking with Mark Borax on the Cosmic Weather Report. If you have a question on the book, you can give us a call at 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. You're listening to Intuitive Soul on the Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries.
me by. I'll lay around and wonder why you were always there for me. One way, in the eyes of a passerby, I'll look around for another try.
Is now CBS Radio's The Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL. 248-545-7685. NewSkyRadio.com.
I'm a private intuitive counselor empowering people to live from their hearts. My focus is on relationships, limiting beliefs, energy that is blocking you, and awakening consciousness as we become more heart-centered. Tonight we are talking with the master astrologer and author and co-author of Cosmic Weather Report, which is Notes from the Edge of the Universe, and we're talking with Mark Borax. He also wrote another book which was labeled 2012... Bridge.
Crossing the Bridge to the Future.
There you go. Thank you. Which was also an excellent interview that I did with him on my website. So if you're wanting more information, you definitely, one, should listen to the shows that we've done. Two, should get the book. And three, consider doing his teleclasses, which start this Saturday. How can they get more information about that, Mark?
Just go to markborax.com. That's MarkBorax.
Great. So let's talk about modern relationships. This, I mean, it certainly has been a way that you've grown. I think most of us tend to evolve and grow the most when we're having our mirror kind of right in front of our face. It's like those relationships are here to, you know, to assist us, but it's that journey that we discover all of this trauma and darkness and shadow stuff that we like to avoid.
Yes, I think that love has needed to play a different role in a modern time than it used to, because in earlier times and in earlier cultures, our elders played the role of initiating us, teaching us, and leading us forward. we actually were able to trust the shamans, the priests, the initiators in many earlier times and places. But what's happened in the modern world is we've lost contact with the role of spiritual initiation, and our elders have really been replaced by media and TV, radio, newspapers, education systems that may or may not have anything to do with the life of the soul, with the inner life of the individual. And what happens at a time like that is the love relationship has to kind of do double duty and not only be a form of nurturance and a form of support, but it also has to reflect back to the individual their blind spots, the lessons they're not getting. There needs to be a form of initiation to bring individuals through their own darkness, through their own ignorance. And what happens is love becomes super intensified because the other person becomes such a strong, intense mirror that you can't quite get away from and have to begin to look at yourself through their eyes. And in a real powerful, committed relationship, that part of role to be a mirror that reflects the deeper parts of the self that you haven't been able to look at before, that gets mixed in with all of the issues of the relationship between the two people, and it becomes quite an interesting challenge to have to sort it all out.
Right. I mean, part of the thing with relationships is that we tend to put all of our attention on something outside ourselves, when what we need to understand is that that attention that we're putting outside of ourselves is us. Like,
that's
we're
right.
Needing to see that. Yeah, go for it.
That's right. The obsessive part of love, which has to do with trying to get this other person, trying to make love come true, it's it needs to be recognized as the search for the missing part of the soul. And when you invest the other person with the missing or denied part of yourself, which is really your shadow, when you put a piece of your shadow over the other person, it takes a bit of sorting out in order to separate the difference between what's really theirs to give you versus what the love is trying to show you about yourself that you need to learn.
Right. And so we find ourselves through each other.
Because yes, and that process of love is a very, very powerful process if you become self-aware enough, if you become mature enough to recognize that one of the roles that the other person has, being your partner, is to show you the parts of yourself that you may not have been ready to see. And it's not quite their fault that these funny things are happening in the relationship, but it may be that you're finally getting ready to see something that you weren't ready to see before. On the part of one person, it takes a lot of emotional maturity, a lot of self-work to come through their own demons enough to recognize that aspect of love. But to expect two people to be able to do that simultaneously is a rare thing, but that's what you can aspire to in your love relationship.
Right. And there's also this aspect of awakening in solitude, but also through this connection.
And that's where love needs to be based on a spacious solitude rather than the need for the other person to make your life right, rather than the need for the other person to make all your dreams come true. If you're existing with a kind of spacious solitude, it means that you still get to go through those stages of transformation that you have yet to go through on your own, but at the same time, the love relationship can be a very strong mirror and a container that can promote a radical intimacy which can enable you to be able to go through those challenges on your own, but kind of share them with the other person.
Right. And a lot of what you talk about. Now, your own personal experience is written quite in depth in this last aspect of the book, and how that has been really so powerful for you that it's kind of, you know, assisted you to move through many levels. But you also talk about, you know, that we seem to have this thing where we think, well, you know, I will love you as long as you do what I want.
Yeah, it's a transformation from the early phases of love where I'll love you as long as you do what I want, toward a radical intimacy which is based on I trust you enough to grant you the power to show me what I'm not ready to see.
Right.
And when people agree to be that real with each other, then a radical evolutionary force enters the bond, and that power transforms love out of infatuation and severe codependence into a very strong spiritual support system. It took me a lot of love relationships to get to that version of love. Throughout my years, love has definitely kicked my ass all around the planet. And finally, I began breaking through more and more to the recognition that each of my loves tried to show me a very intense piece of myself that I wasn't always ready to see, but with hindsight can look back and realize how necessary it was that I really did recognize and re-own the part of myself that I was projecting onto my women.
Right. Which is a difficult understanding because we're so eager to, you know, make it about blaming someone else or, you know, feeling betrayed or feeling that they, you know, that they're doing something to us. Like, we're so caught up in this victim mentality that it's so easy to think, you know, whenever something happens that we're so wounded and they've just done something to us. So we've made it so personal what they're doing, and yet what they're doing is giving us a gift.
Well,
doesn't
yes,
feel that.
What we go into in the later parts of the book is how that, even that part of it that you're mentioning, where we tend to take it super personally, we tend to get really, really caught in the infantile emotional state with our love, feeling that the other person is doing something to us, that even that experience is much better to feel it and own it and recognize it and go through it than to try to pretend as if we're sort of like these sterile, safe, and secure beings who are not being affected at all. When you make peace with your own darkness, with your own intensity, with all of the demons that the relationship is raising, you get this tremendous gift of finding out who you are in the shadows. And oftentimes, that's the main benefit of the love, even though at the time that you're caught in it, it can feel as if that's the curse and the burden of the whole thing, rather than the main
right.
gift of it.
Right. And that is a thread that's, you know, it is throughout the book. This one specifically on relationship is in the third part, but, you know, owning our own shadow and owning, knowing that, you know, the things that are the most difficult for us is actually our liberation.
Yes, and that's over and over, again, a theme running out through all my work, my readings, is that the most intense, difficult, challenging part of your life, your loves, your relationships, if you can eke that out of the darkness, if you can really get a clear view of what's most sticking you inside, where you're most caught and bound and chained in those inner dungeons, you've also just gained the ground of all future liberation. You're right at the root of darkness and light, and that gives you the power to use your life to break away from the herd and the social expectations and actually claim your full identity. It comes usually much more through the darkness than through the light.
Yay. All right, we're going to go to break now. You are listening to Mark Borax and An Intuitive Soul. And, yeah, we're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Join Mystic Radio with Rob and Alexis Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern and 12 noon Pacific as metaphysical mother and TV personality Robin Alexis helps countless people around the globe live fuller and more conscious lives. Robin serves you using her gifts as a medium, medical intuitive, past life reader, and more. Get your free on-air readings Wednesday at 3 Eastern and 12 noon Pacific right here on the Sky. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
My best friend gave me the best advice. He said each day's a gift and not a given right. Leave no stone unturned, leave your fears behind, and try to take the path less traveled by. That first step you take is the longest ride. If today was your last day, tomorrow was too late. Could you say goodbye yesterday? Would you live each moment like your last? Leave old pictures in the past. Donate every dime you have. If today was your last day. Against the grain should be your way of life. What's worth the prize is always worth the fight. Every second counts, cause there's no second try. So live like you've never lived twice. Don't take the free ride in your own life. If today was your last day, would you make your mark by mending a broken heart? You know it's never too late to shoot for the stars, regardless of who you are. So do whatever it takes, cause you can't rewind a moment in this life. Let nothing stand in your way. Would you say goodbye to yesterday? Or would you live each moment like your last? Leave old pictures in the past. Donate every dime you have. And would you call those friends you never see? Reminisce on memories. Would you forgive your enemies? And would you find that one you dream in us? There up and down. That's you finally fall in love. If today was your last day.
Live the life you've imagined.
Look up to the sky.
This is Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL.
Myself, a threadbare gypsy soul.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
NewSkyRadio.com.
Intuitive Soul Radio is right here every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Sky Radio. I also have a show with co-host Jean Adrian every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time called Voices of Soul. It's also right here on New Sky Radio. As well, I have a live show every Thursday evening on my website, intuitivesoul.com. So we are talking with master astrologer and author Mark Borax, who has co-authored the book Cosmic Weather Report, Notes from the Edge of the Universe. You wanted to talk a little bit about the way it's written, so why don't you do that?
I tried to preserve the teleclass format in our College of Visionaries and Wizards. We have these telephone classes throughout the year. And so I included the questions and the comments from the students so as to bring the reader right in and make them feel that they're right there on the telephone in the same class with our mystery school. Similarly to how in my first book, 2012, I tried to bring the reader right into our old mystery school in the mountains of Santa Cruz, California.
Mm-hmm. And very effective way of writing. It's a very interesting and different way of writing, but it allows, I mean, it's not, you know, just these concepts. You actually start to feel the people's questions and feel the energy that's written in the book. So it's a very interesting way to write a book. It captures people.
From Plato, who was writing about the Socrates and the mystery school way back when. So it was a pretty ancient formula.
Nice. All right. So one of the last areas in the book that I think is really fascinating is karmic theater. Why don't you talk about that a little bit, well, for the rest of this session? But yeah,
karmic theater is this fascinating concept that Elias and I came up with during the last 20 years. It has to do with the idea that everything that happens between birth and death is a ritual designed by spirit to ignite the full force of your soul. And that nothing that happens between birth and death is anything other than a ritual to get you to fully become who you are. And that idea means that powerful events, whatever their outcome, are your greatest wake-up call. And so it's a powerful approach to be able to recognize the hidden meaning in everything that happens as a summons to get you to be more true to your nature. Similarly to the way that in a play on stage, the events that happen and the action that occurs with characters rubbing off between them each other is designed to get them to become more fully true to who they are.
Right. So it's really interesting because it's this concept, of course, that we're the central performer and that everybody around us is still, you know, reflecting back to us what we're here to learn, so that every person in our lives has this, you know, intricate role that they're playing to help us grow, and that we're also, you know, the detached observer that's watching the play, which, you know, trying to get our heads wrapped around that is often a bit challenging. But, you know, every aspect of this is our life. And it's just, I think it's a really fascinating way of putting it so that people can sort of relate to it, because we've all been to theater. We know what that's about. But I think it's really interesting.
Yeah, in this approach, karma becomes something much different than it's usually considered as. Usually, karma is considered to be something that you have to pay off
yes.
from your previous lives in order to kind of fulfill your time, your sentence here on Earth, and then get to some better place like Nirvana. In the whole idea of karmic theater, it's the opposite. Karma is the unwritten law of your being, the deeper underlying themes that you've been enacting from life to life through reincarnation. And when you wake up to those deeper underlying themes, you gain this freedom to fully be who you are without getting lost in your story. You gain the necessary dramatic action to really become fully alive. And in that respect, karma is the greatest blessing of all, because it enables each person to truly find out who they are. And the art of karmic theater lies in just caring enough to play your role with heart and soul, but not take that role so seriously that you lose sight of the fact that it's just a role. Your soul took on the role of Lori Houston, and my soul took on the role of Mark Borax in order to bring a unique essence of this role into the world so that I could be the love that I am, so that I could nourish the universe with what's packed deep inside me. And throughout life, each thing that happens is an invitation to do that.
Right. And I love the concept of we suffer brokenness to learn wholeness.
Yes. Yes. When you look at life as karmic theater, a great reversal occurs where the very things that most seem to hound you and dog you and persecute you and enslave you are actually your greatest gifts in disguise. If you're going through a life where you're suffering, and all of us are suffering in some way, in some thematic characteristic way, when you get clear, if you're suffering through abandonment, it's because your soul is trying to find out about reunion. Your soul is trying to find out about connection. If you're suffering through brokenness, it's because your soul is enacting a role that's on the way toward wholeness. Everything that you go through that seems the worst and the harshest actually turns around when you look at it through the lens of karmic theater. And that's why the book winds up with that whole section in there as to the beauty of this and the irony of it and the magic of it.
Right. Okay, so we got to wrap up, but again, Cosmic Weather Report, Notes from the Edge of the Universe. Check out this book. Check out our interviews. You can reach Mark at markborax.com. You can also get him on Facebook, and he's got some groups. I recommend, you know, logging onto his website and getting his newsletters, because they're great. I'm Laura Houston. You've been listening to Intuitive Soul. If you have any questions, you know, you can always book a one-on-one session with me. I have a new toll-free number, which is 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 855-444-7685. And may love and joy be your guides to creating the life you desire. You've been listening to Intuitive Soul. We've had Mark Borax on the Sky Radio, powered by CBS. Thanks, Mark.